Good evening and welcome to our Teletown Hall with Dean Sambamurthy. My name is Shannon Tim. I am the Director of Alumni Relations here at the Wisconsin School of Business. I'll also be moderating tonight's call. So first, I just want to start by thanking everyone for taking the time to join us tonight. People are still joining the call, but I just wanted to give some initial information before we get started. So in a moment, I'll turn it over to Dean Sambamurthy. But first, just a little bit about the format for tonight's call. So we've invited alumni from across the country to be part of our conversation tonight. And in addition to hearing from the dean, we intend this to be an interactive conversation. So if at any time you would like to ask a question or make a comment, all you have to do is press zero on your phone, and then you'll be connected with one of our staff members. They'll take your question and get you into a queue to speak directly with Dean Samba. I want to make sure that we can get through as many questions and comments as possible tonight on the call. So I will please ask that everyone limit their questions or comments to one per person. In addition, at the end of the call, there is also going to be an opportunity for you to leave a message for us. So if we're unable to get to your question, or if you prefer not to speak during the live portion, you'll have the opportunity to leave a message at the end. So with that, I'd like to introduce our featured speaker who's here with me tonight, Vallabh Sambamurthy. He's the new dean at the Wisconsin School of Business. He goes by Samba for short, so that's how you'll hear me referring to him tonight. Dean Samba officially joined the school at the beginning of August, and his list of credentials and accomplishments is far too long for me to do it justice in just a couple of sentences, but what I do want to share with you is that he received his MBA from the Indian Institute of Management, followed by his PhD from the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. Prior to joining us at Wisconsin, he was a professor at the Broad College of Business at Michigan State University, where he also served as the associate dean overseeing their MBA programs. He is a leading expert on digital transformation and how businesses compete in today's digital economy, and I will say that all of us at Wisconsin are really excited to be under his leadership. Since joining the school in August, Dean Samba has been doing a lot of outreach in our alumni communities. I personally had the opportunity to get to know him during this time, and we just actually wrapped up our five-city tour where we were embarking on a listening tour and meeting with alumni in Milwaukee, Chicago, Minneapolis, New York, and San Francisco. So tonight's call is part of that listening tour, and to start, I prepared some questions that Dean Samba is going to address, and then we'll move to questions and comments from you. For anyone who has just joined us in the last minute or so, I want to reiterate that this is a live session and we intend for it to be interactive and we want to hear from you. So we're looking forward to taking questions and comments from those of you on the line. All you have to do at any time during this call tonight is press zero on your phone. You're going to be connected to one of our staff members. They'll take your information and they'll get you connected to speak with us. You will also have the opportunity to leave a voicemail for us at the end of the call. So if we're unable to get to your question or if you prefer not to ask it during the live portion, just stay in the line and you'll be prompted to leave us a message at the end. So with all of that set up out of the way, I'm going to turn it over to Dean Samba to get us started. So welcome, Samba.
Thank you very much, Shannon. Good evening and thank you for all of those who are on the phone. I'm delighted to have this opportunity to speak with so many of you tonight. My goals for this conversation are really to hear from you. I'd love to hear about what's important for me to know about our great school, and then we'll also explore how do you want the Wisconsin School of Business to play in your life today. But let me say that it's a great privilege to be selected and to be serving as the dean of the Wisconsin School of Business. I've always felt that Wisconsin was a great university and a great business school. And during my 30 years of being a professor, I've had the university and the business school in the highest regard. And it's quite a privilege to be selected as the dean. And I look forward to listening from all the stakeholders, including you. So I look forward to our conversation this evening.
Great. So specifically, for those of you on the line, there are two areas where we'd really appreciate your thoughts. One that Samba mentioned is, what do you think is important for him to know about our school? The second is, what role do you want the school to play in your life today? So think about those as we're doing some initial remarks at the beginning of this call, but we'd love to hear from you. So as a reminder to comment or ask a question, just press zero on your phone and you'll be connected to one of our staff members. So Samba, as we're waiting for those questions to come in, I know our audience would certainly appreciate hearing more about you and your background. Could you just start and share a little bit about yourself, both personally and professionally?
So I call myself a boundary spanner because I started my education long ago with an education in mechanical engineering. Very quickly, I realized that much as I loved machines, I loved organizations even more. And so that made my decision to go to a business school and get an MBA. And I specialized in marketing and strategy. Now, after working in industry for a few years, I felt that my true passion would be to be a professor. And around that time, there was a new discipline called information systems. And the way I understood it, it was a combination of understanding businesses, understanding technology, developing solutions, and the most important aspect of this would be organizational change, people change, management, and that appealed to me. So that led me to a PhD at Minnesota. And during my journey over the past 30 years through Florida State, through Maryland and Michigan State, what has really excited me is that technology has become more and more important as an enabler in our society, and I call that the digital economy or the digital transformation, that industry after industry is going through that change. And so my passion has been around research, teaching, and consulting, executive education. So I'm looking forward to practicing that leadership interest as the dean of the Wisconsin School of Business. I have two daughters, and both of them are now on their own paths, either working or in college. And when you get to know me, you'll know that I'm a big fan of Seinfeld, and I will throw in a lot of Seinfeld quotes. I enjoy tennis, both playing and watching. But most importantly, we enjoy eating out, and we're really looking forward to our move into Madison to enjoy the warmth of Madison, the community, and all the good eating places.
Unlucky for you, it's not warm right here right now. Unfortunately, it's getting a little bit cooler here in Madison. But sticking to that timeline or theme of time, so earlier this month marked 90 days for you, so time flies, I guess. And I know that you've placed a really big emphasis on listening during that time frame. Will you share with us some of your early reflections about the school, and how would you assess where the school is at?
Shannon, it's hard to believe that it's already been 3 months plus. I still recall moving here in August and counting weeks, and then I realized that the weeks have now moved into months. But during these 90 days, my travels in meeting alumni, spending time with faculty, the numerous listening sessions with staff have confirmed to me that this is indeed a great institution. It has a rich legacy of programs. It has a rich legacy of research, great alumni. But by the same token, we have a great opportunity to do even better things in the future. So as I visited with the alumni, I've also begun to realize that our alumni are indeed a huge differentiator and an amazing asset to the business school. Our alumni loyalty and passion and pride in the place really beats what I've seen in other institutions, and that's why these kinds of conversations are really important to me.
Great. So in addition to listening, I know you've also initiated a strategic planning process that's currently underway at the school. Could you expand on what this looks like?
Yeah. So when I arrived here, I had ideas about what would make this great institution even better and stronger. But my leadership style can be described in terms of transparency, collaboration, and really thinking about collective we rather than I. So I did not want to proclaim what were the new strategies we were going to pursue because it was important to make sure we got buy-in. So we've created a strategic planning process by identifying a group of faculty and staff, and we've asked them to engage in numerous listening sessions. And during the past 90 days, they have done listening sessions with faculty, with staff, with students, with alumni, corporations, and recruiters. And the goal of this listening is to really help us identify what are our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, but more importantly, in these turbulent times, what are the five most important things that we should work on. So that process is about to come to an end, and in mid-December, we will announce the results of that task force, and we will identify these important directions. And come spring, we will pick some of those areas and create action teams and ask them to identify goals, metrics, tactics, and what kind of investments should we make, what kind of faculty should we hire, what kind of staff we should hire, what about the space, the Granger Hall, how should we reconfigure it? So these kinds of questions we will ask. But what I really like about our process is that it empowers the voices of the stakeholders. And that was very important because a great strategy is only as good as there's buy-in and a willingness to work along with that strategy. But the other thing is that the process has been designed to be very agile. We didn't have this baked-in strategic planning process. What we did was we kept making changes and improvisations. Now, what are some examples that can come out of it? The business school is primed to grow its undergraduate program, and that can be an area of huge opportunity, not just in terms of producing stronger and better graduates for corporations, but also that's a place where we can build and strengthen our reputation. So thinking about the undergraduate program could be one such example. There may be others. Many of you out there, the world you live in, you know that online learning is becoming a more and more important element of education. So we will ask ourselves, what should our online strategy be? How should we weave classroom and online presence to build stronger and better programs? And I expect that in January, we'll come back with a bold statement about what are the important things we will work on.
Great. So obviously, you're just talking about strategic planning still being underway and some of the timeline for that. But how would you describe maybe at this early point in time your vision for the Wisconsin School of Business? I think you've touched on that a little bit already. But you mentioned that part of this strategic planning process is to uncover strengths or opportunities. Has there been anything that's surfaced thus far in that process?
Yes. So when I arrived here, I came with a firm belief that the business of education is at an inflection point and that business schools are particularly affected by it, that traditional business schools have to recognize that there are disruptive forces, there are transformative forces, and they have to ask themselves, what is our future vision for education? In that regard, I strongly believe that a business school should think of becoming a hub of lifelong learning. And what I mean by that is many Badgers leave this place strongly prepared for their first career. But in a rapidly adapting economy where there is low volatility, new skills are coming up, it is very evident that most graduates will probably need to continually upskill or reskill themselves. So think about business analytics. 5-6 years ago, it was something of a trend on the horizon, but today it's an important skill. And more students, graduates, and employees in their early stages of their career will need to understand analytics, data science, and so on. So that's an example of upskilling. So the vision for a business school should be, as the graduates and employees continually learn and acquire new skills, how should we develop a portfolio of programs to cater to their needs? So there's a rise of the specialty master's programs to complement both the undergraduate and the full-time MBA. Another element of that is education will increasingly need to be flexible, convenient, accessible, and personalized. So we call that learning on demand, that not every future learner will have the time or the patience to acquire degrees, but they might need knowledge in smaller doses, what we call micro-learning. So there's a concept of a badge, a digital badge and certificate. So we want to be able to cater to that. A third element I will identify is that the economy, as I said before, is a digital economy. So as companies and industries are transforming, how should our graduates be prepared for innovation and entrepreneurship in a digital economy? That will become an important focus. Now, even as we do these, we can see continued growth opportunities in the BBA, and our commitment is to expand the undergraduate program by nearly 1,000 students, which is about 250 students more per year, and that is doable. And we want to build a strong BBA with a great curriculum, enhanced student experience, career preparation. So that will help us vault into the top five as an aspiration. The MBA program is still very important. And the question is, what will make our MBA program stronger and more visible? What are our differentiators? So we are beginning to look at that. And then we are beginning to look at what are the specialty master's programs that we should add. We recently launched an MS in business analytics, one in supply chain, one in real estate. In the future, we'll look at healthcare. So clearly, exciting range of opportunities for our growth.
Great. So I think now is a good time to go to some questions. Just as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question or comment on anything, all you need to do is press zero on your phone. You'll be connected to one of our staff members who will take your question and get you into the queue. So we have Patrick on the line from Texas. Patrick, are you there?
I am.
Hi, Patrick. What's your question?
You began to touch on it, and I like what I'm hearing. I'm looking at the University of Wisconsin School of Business as being a dominant school of business, as opposed to one of the awful rounds. How can we continue to move the school up in the eyes of, like, you see the Forbes magazine and Newsweek, other magazines are ranking universities, and it seems like every university has different metrics that they're determining how well a school is doing. What can we do to continue to drive the metric for Wisconsin School of Business being in the top 10% competing with the Ivy League schools and Stanford and MIT?
Patrick, it's great to hear from you because I share your vision and your worldview. So let me say, Wisconsin School of Business has had a history of innovation in education. So we were the first to embrace this concept of applied learning, which other schools are now copying in the form of experiential learning. We are right now among the first to build a STEM MBA, which is an important direction for many schools. So how do we continue to build our reputation, elevate the school? I will say three things. First, innovation and agility. So when I talked about digital badges, when I talked about lifelong learning, by combining online with face-to-face, by building a portfolio of master's programs, and then in the future, developing executive education around badges and certificates, others are talking about it. If we can start moving fast, that's one. Second, interestingly, I don't think we've done a good job of telling our story. Outsiders really don't know the greatness and the strength of the Wisconsin School of Business. So I want to make sure that we are doing a better job of marketing, branding, and communication. Okay. And the third one really is reaching out to our alumni and encouraging them to come along with us on this journey by acting as our ambassadors and advocates. When I meet alums, they're very proud of the institution, and I want you to convey that pride as you talk to others.
Great. Thanks so much, Patrick, for your question. Now we're going to go to Debbie, who's calling in from Wisconsin. Debbie, are you on the line with us?
Hi. Yes. So my question slash comment is that you were looking for ideas on how the School of Business could help us graduates now. And my issue right now with regards to the School of Business is that in all of the businesses that I have worked at since graduating, all of my bosses have been white males. Females have seemed to be unpromotable material within these companies. This is within the Madison, Wisconsin area. What can the UW-Madison School of Business do to be a community partner and encourage businesses and business professionals to change this mindset?
Debbie, thanks for the question, and glad to know that you're in Wisconsin. Hopefully you're enjoying a little bit of warm weather today relative to the past few days. But your question is very much right on. And I would say that in addition to working on enhancing diversity within the school, we also want to be a partner in reaching out to the community. And so when I arrived here, I realized that we have some good portfolio of executive education programs in FLUNO, but those are perhaps mostly canned programs. And so I would love to meet you and others who have a similar passion, and perhaps we can talk about what kind of programs can we put together. For example, can we create something like a bagel and breakfast series by bringing in some speakers? Or can we build some networking sessions? There might be a lot of creative ways. And it's also important, from what I hear your question to mean, one is to build the confidence and capability among women in business. But the second part is also to work on helping change the climate and culture of the place to be more accepting of women in leadership positions. I think, let me step back and say that we really see Madison as a great place to start our corporate outreach and engagement and our community outreach and engagement. I've been spending some time, so I would very much love for you to connect with me. And if you have other like-minded colleagues, let's talk about how we can make a difference.
Great. Thanks, Debbie, for your call. We're going to go to Bennett, who's joining us from Minnesota. Bennett, are you on the line with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Bennett, what's your question?
So I'm a pretty recent grad, and I was kind of wondering where you stand on sustainability right now. When I was leaving the school, I think there was only one or two professors, and one of them was retiring that year. So I don't know. Personally, I see it as a super important issue that we were underutilizing. So I was just kind of wondering where you stand on that and how you see the future of sustainability in business.
Great and timely question, Bennett. It's something that I've been hearing a lot from students about how do we develop a mindset and an exposure as well as comfort with thinking about sustainability. And it's something that we will have to work on even more. My own view on that is there's one element of sustainability which is curricular. So there are faculty who do research on sustainability from a cost accounting perspective or from an organizational perspective. And in spring, we are going to be looking at our curriculum, particularly in the undergraduate and the MBA space. And that's one of the issues we'll pay attention to is sustainability. But more importantly, beyond that, one of my questions is, can sustainability be taught or should it be more experiential? So should we create some student engagement opportunities? Should we promote some clubs? So we are going to creatively look at not just the curriculum, but also the extracurricular and co-curricular activities. Let me also say that recently Chancellor Blank raised the same issue that we need to think more about sustainability, but in two ways. One is, are we ourselves practicing good sustainability practices on campus? And I think that in itself could be a powerful way of living rather than just teaching. So we're going to look at that and see how we can leverage a broad campus to build experiences and comfort with respecting the planet, respecting the environment, not just in what we teach, but also how we live and behave. So thank you for that question, because that's certainly been something that I've heard a lot, and I'm looking forward to revisiting our curriculum and then talking to students about how they can be partners.
Great. Thanks, Bennett, for your question. Now we're going to go to Wade, who's joining us from Illinois. Wade, what's your question?
Yeah, Saba, hi, it's Wade.
Hi, Wade. How are you?
Great. See, my Wisconsin is so hard to get into from out of state now that we're missing some terrific kids that are saying, why do I apply to Wisconsin? Since the School of Business, unlike Indiana and Minnesota, has so few direct admits. Can't we open up the direct admits? Because we're missing some great kids.
Wade, first of all, so great to hear your voice. And I also got your Economist article today, so thank you so much. I will say that, like you, I am a big believer in direct admit, because it admits students and it gives us 4 years to nurture their development experience into great business professionals. Right now, we are doing about 600 students through direct admit and 400 through freshman admit, meaning after 1 year. So as I settle in, I am beginning to look at what's a percentage of a direct admit versus freshman admit. Based upon my experience, I believe that we should still keep a certain percentage aside for admitting students after their freshman year, because there are people who may be great but discover their interest only after they come here. But that being said, between the direct admit and the freshman admit, my focus is particularly on what do we do with them in addition to the classroom. So one of the ideas I'm working on, Wade, is this concept of career pathways coaches, that the students, as soon as they come into the business school, they start aligned with coaches who help them discover what they might like. Do you like a career in finance, in marketing? And then, how do you start preparing yourself beyond just your knowledge? The other thing I will add is, even those who don't get into the school, it's direct admit, we call them pre-business admits, we're increasingly offering them some of the same career pathways coaching and academic coaching. Now, no matter how much we grow, the demand will be more than what we can handle. So one an additional thing we are working on is creating a summer business certificate. That means students who do not get into the business school will still be able to take 5 courses in business and build their credentials in business. So I am with you that we should be attracting great kids, and we should be offering them great educational experiences. So we'll try that through direct admit. We'll do that through the business certificate. And then in the future, as we build these master's programs, we'll build what's called a 4+1 to allow non-business school students access the business school education.
Saba, the worry that kids have is if they don't make direct admit that they're not going to get into Wisconsin. In other words, they don't understand that there's a handoff to the rest of the campus if they don't get direct admit into the business school. They think they're not going to get into Wisconsin then.
And Wade, those are the things that I also learned, and I'm beginning to address that. You know, one of the things I will step back and say, we need to do much better in how we speak to the parents, to the students, and to the stakeholders. And I've been spending a lot of my time, both in my travels as well as through messaging, to build the confidence. So, but I hope to see you soon, Wade, and give you a better sense of confidence, because this is a priority number one for us.
Great. Thanks so much, Wade, for your question. We're going to go to Jeremy now in California. Jeremy, what's your question?
Hi there. I'm actually out in Washington, D.C. now. One of the things that really inspired me while I was at the Wisconsin School of Business was the concept of the Wisconsin idea, the belief that we're providing this really wonderful public institution that can accept all these people from across the state and the country that can then go on to help serve the other folks that did not attend and, you know, look out for the betterment of all the people of Wisconsin and beyond. So I'm curious, in this era of like expanding wealth and income inequality and student debt and all of these other things, what the Wisconsin School of Business is doing to instill this sense of responsibility and service with the current students who are attending.
Thank you, Jeremy. I think that's a great statement. So as we were going through these strategic planning listening sessions, that's an idea which has continually come up, which is what's the Wisconsin idea and how does the Wisconsin School of Business continue to nurture that? So I will say there are three things which we need to continually keep thinking about. First one is, how do we build experiences in our programs? So we are working with, service to the community, service to Madison, and how do we make that an important element of students when they come to campus as part of their orientation, and then maybe during their stay on campus. So as you may know from your stay in Madison, that there are a lot of organizations we can reach out to. So the first effort is building these kinds of extracurricular experiences. The second element is, we are going to aggressively partner with other schools on campus. One of my ambitions is, I call it the business of X. X is fill in the space, the business of music, the business of hunger, the business of poverty. A belief that business can be a force for the good of society, and can we bring the business-minded thinking as other parts of campus are addressing society's grand challenges. The third part is really reaching out to the previous caller, was it Debbie, who talked about helping women feel more empowered. So we want to reach out to constituencies in Madison and see how we can partner with them, either through our knowledge or through our student projects, or there may be other creative ways. If you have some ideas or suggestions, please share them with us. And I'm glad to know that you're living in D.C. I lived there at one time, so have good memories.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeremy, for your question. Just as a reminder, for anyone who's wondering how they can ask a question, all you have to do is press 0 on your phone, and you'll be connected to one of our staff members. With that, we're going to go to Mark. Mark's joining us from Wisconsin. Mark, are you on the line?
I am.
What's your question?
Thomas, Mark. My question is, as I think about it, and I've been in business for over 20-plus years, and what is the business school doing, and I've heard a little bit of the ideas that you've had, to make sure that there still is that reality instilled into the academic setting so that you don't get too far away from what's happening actually in business and sitting in a classroom, and how do you keep the reality of what they're going to be facing once they get the degree?
So I think, Mark, the hallmark of the Wisconsin School of Business has that it's been very effective and I would say a pioneer in blending theory and practice. So when I arrived here, I continually see examples of that. I see some of our alumni in finance from New York come in and teach classes, and those are very applied in nature. I see other alums coming and leading students through product marketing, making demos. So my goal is to continue to build upon that. And one of the things we have not done as effectively is bring that applied learning and real-world practice flavor into our undergraduate program, and we're expanding that. The other thing that we are doing is building consulting projects in every program that we are launching that exists. So, for example, in our full-time MBA, now we are adding a one-semester consulting practicum where we'll get projects from companies and have the students work on that. Our new master's in business analytics will have a semester-long consulting. So we will continually explore those hands-on projects in addition to doing tours and internships.
Great. Thanks so much, Mark, for your question. Next, we're going to go to Keith, who's calling us from Ohio. Hi, Keith. What's your question?
Yes. This is Keith Weichel from Ohio and Georgia. And I think when we look at the graduates of Wisconsin, they graduate either from the undergraduate or the MBAs, and they have excellent technical skills. And as you already have said, after a period of years, those may no longer be relevant based on the rate of change. My question then goes to, what are we doing for those students to prepare them to take leadership positions in their organization, whether they be men or women? And I think that's an important factor for the school to consider.
Keith, great to hear your voice, and I hope you're enjoying the warmth in Georgia, and I look forward to seeing you sometime soon. And I hope you enjoyed watching the videos of the Weichel Leadership Series. They come out very well. To answer your question, you're right on. So let me give an example beyond the lifelong learning. One of the initiatives we're working on is transforming our evening MBA. In the near future, we're going to make the evening MBA 50% online, 50% classroom from 100% classroom model, so that it becomes more convenient and accessible. We're also redesigning it around the concept of badges, so there'll be 9 badges. So for example, somebody who wants to work on healthcare can choose a badge in healthcare and marry that with a badge in analytics and a badge in consulting. So what I like about what we are doing with this is it's an experiment to move in exactly the direction that you were asking about. What can we do to help badgers and non-badgers who already have had a rich career but want to advance themselves to the next step, either in a new direction or in that existing direction? How do we give them a blend of technical as well as managerial and soft skills? Now, one of the things I want to work on once we get past the first wave is how do we build and promote the Badger network? So we have a technology bridge called Badger Bridge, which I hear is like a LinkedIn for the University of Wisconsin. And in my travels, what I learned is that many of our alums want to give back as mentors because they have had successes and they want to help other Badgers. And there are many Badgers who want to be mentored. And so what we want to do is promote this Badger Bridge as the way where Badgers meet each other virtually and they get mentorship. They learn about what are the new things I should learn. And then that will work in parallel with our a set of courses our digital platform for online learning and their badges. And I think if we marry our social connection of the alumni with our educational products, we can really empower badgers to continually grow and advance in their careers.
Thanks so much, Keith, for your question. We're going to move on to Andrew, who's calling us from Wisconsin. Andrew, are you there, and what's your question?
Yeah, hi. Andrew Cramp up in Oshkosh. I want to say I think this is a really great opportunity. I don't think I can recall having the opportunity to do this before. And in sort of the spirit of that, my question revolves around alumni giving back. And after I graduated with my MBA, I went to Colorado for about 5 years, and I came back here to Oshkosh. And I thought it was one of the things that I thought was really great about it was that I'd be closer to the School of Business, and I could, you know, I would only be about, you know, an hour and a half away, and I could come down and I could, you know, engage with the college a little bit more. You know, when I went to my you know, my center and said, is there something I can do? Can I help? Can I, you know, is there anything, can I, all of the years of experience that I had in the real world, and I went from individual contributor and now I'm a manager of people, you know, Fortune 200 company, and now a small manufacturing company. Can I give back any of this information or help out at all? Unfortunately, there wasn't any opportunity to do that. So my question is, is there any way or ways that you can think of that would allow the alumni to, you know, share their experience and provide their energy and skill set to the university in maybe non-monetary ways?
That's a great comment and very much fits in with what we've been thinking. And first of all, I'll say that we missed a valuable opportunity with you, and hopefully we can seize the opportunity, because this is exactly what I have seen in my few months as the strength and the passion of the Badger alumni, their willingness to share their experiences through mentoring, coaching, and so on. So I encourage you to reach back, but think about a couple of things to make sure that I'm giving you some sense of concreteness. There are at least three ways in which we would love to engage you. First, as we expand our portfolio of experiential learning, we are looking for projects from companies, which are meaningful projects where our students can work on to develop their skills, to demonstrate their competence, and to help companies learn from the talent of our students. So, depending upon where you're working and your ability to help us with that, we would love to engage you and your firm in experiential projects if feasible. The second, as I talked earlier about our desire to promote mentoring networks among our alumni, please be on the lookout for more information from us as we figure out how to make the Badger Bridge a active alumni mentoring network. The third thing I would say is that in person, so if you have certain ideas about what kind of mentoring and advice would you like to provide, are these for undergraduate students? Are these for MBAs, depending upon your life journey? We'll make sure that we're connecting you with the appropriate program leaders. And let me say that connecting with the alumni is priority number one, but how to do it is really an experiment. So what we should do is commit to trying out a few ideas. And in that spirit, I encourage you to reach out back to me, and then we'll figure out how to do some of those experiments. But thank you for your desire to continue to help the mothership.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you
so much, Andrew. We're going to go now to Jeff, who's calling us from Atlanta. Jeff, are you on the line, and what's your question?
Hello. Hi, my name is Jeff. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm a Milwaukee product, Wisconsin Badger. I went to the I graduated medical school in the 80s, and I'm basically a psychiatrist, physician, entrepreneur. I'm good at the psychiatry and the physician piece. I'm weak at the entrepreneurship, and I see a lot of potential, you know, with what's going on in healthcare, with digital things and the way networks are trying to form. And I'm trying to work with independent doctors down here, but I lack the leadership skills. So I'm interested in what you're saying about the Badger Bridge, the Badger Network, connecting down here. I was also interested in your idea, like maybe coming back to Madison for a week for some physician entrepreneurial course on what's going on with healthcare. And also, you know, the online learning that could continue. Because I feel very much tied into the old Wisconsin idea about, you know, doing good in our career and doing good for the rest of the world, especially what's going on in culture now. So I'm just trying to connect back to with the mothership, as you said, to get some help myself for the business piece, which I don't have training in. But I think that way, but I don't have any skills in that set. But I have a lot of great ideas that could be merged together with you all. So I've enjoyed this talk tonight.
Thank you. You know, I live not too far from Atlanta, and I still like to think of it as Hotlanta. So have to come there someday. But let me say that what you have described is very much one of our areas of growth and opportunity. One of the previous callers on this, Keith Weichel, he's right now spending the winter, the harsh Ohio winter in Georgia. He and many other alums have been exhorting us to think about bringing business to healthcare. And so we are working on that. It could be in the form of short programs. It could be also in the form of a new master's in healthcare. But look forward to engaging you and helping you acquire some of that business understanding, because that's something that I am beginning to work on. I would say that the last program I launched before I left Michigan State was a master's in healthcare, very much geared to the kinds of issues you're describing. And we have a great medical school. I met with some of the colleagues in the medical school, and we are beginning to talk about how we can actively partner for some quick programs and then a longer-term program. So I look forward to making your acquaintance and seeing how we can make such programs successful.
Great. Thanks so much, Jeff, for your question. We're going to go to Thomas now, who's calling us from Wisconsin. Hi, Thomas. Are you there? And what's your question?
Yes, I was thinking about utilizing the experience and knowledge of the business school to reach out to businesses and promote half-day or full-day sort of seminars for people who can't go back and get another degree but would like to catch up with the technology and so on. And our seems to me that our faculty can do considerable of that, but also reaching to alums who are heavily into some particular area that they could offer and get people come back to the business school to participate in one of those seminars.
Thomas, one of the experiments we have been doing is webinars through the Pluno Center, and that's the direction that I'm very supportive of, and I begin to ask questions about how do we make the webinars more salient. How do we bring some of our faculty and their cutting-edge ideas into webinars? So that's something we'll work on. And hopefully, if you have not been receiving announcements about the webinars, please let us know, and I'll make sure that we connect you to the Fluno Center, which is our executive education center. Beyond that, we're also trying to build some in-person forums. Call it the Bagel and Breakfast Series or Lunch and Learn. And as I settle down, my desire is to explore how we can take some of these Lunch and Learn or Bagel Series around Wisconsin, maybe to Milwaukee, to Appleton, Oshkosh, et cetera, because we can certainly do that. But What you have asked for is something very consistent with our belief about doing these short programs and rotating through different content. So if you're not receiving announcements again, let us know. But otherwise, let us know how good the programs are if you watched any, and we'll continually improve them.
Great. Thanks so much, Thomas, for your question. We're going to move to Alex, who's calling us from Illinois. Hi, Alex. What's your question?
Hi. Thank you so much for hosting this session tonight. I just wanted to briefly circle back on one of the earlier comments. I have a younger brother who recently decided to go to a different program for undergrad, partially due to the limited spots in the direct enrollment program. And I do think it puts Wisconsin at a slight competitive disadvantage to some of the peer schools. My question for the dean is, what are we doing and what's your vision to lean into Wisconsin's strengths? I'm aware that in the finance department, we brought in some distinguished alumni like Ricky and Paul and Betsy, and I think that that's added a lot of value to the students because people who are farther along in their careers can be some of the greatest advocates for students as they enter the job market. Just curious about your views on the programs and what Wisconsin can do better.
Yeah. Thank you, Alex. And sorry that we lost your brother to a rival school, but, we continue. My understanding is that the direct admission is something which is less than 3 years old at Wisconsin. I may be wrong, but that was my understanding. So I am a believer in that, and we'll continue to make sure that we are using that. And earlier on, Wade Fetzer had talked about the kids feeling that if they don't get in, they don't get into Wisconsin. We'll make sure that we're working on that. But one of the ideas that we've been kicking around is for the undergraduate, embracing this notion of career pathways, that there are so many different career opportunities for undergraduate students. And when they come in from high school, they may have some ideas, but what they really need help with is and guidance with is, what are my strengths? What kind of career opportunities should I explore? And how do I prepare for them without waiting for getting an internship in the junior year? I am thinking about an experiment right now. You mentioned Ricky and Paul Leff and others. So building upon their passion, we're investing in hiring a person for career pathways in finance. And having this coach help students prepare for careers in finance and build networks, not just in New York, but also in Milwaukee, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, so grow that. With the success of that, we want to build a similar concept of a career pathways in marketing, where my own daughter recently graduated and she has a career in digital marketing. And I learned that that's an understood, not very well understood opportunity. So how do we build awareness about alternative career pathways in marketing? And then roll that out to other areas such as HR, supply chain. We may have as many as 20 different career pathways and where we can marry coaching, student clubs, immersions, corporate tours, internships, and careers. So to me, that's a huge emphasis as we re-envision our BBA, where the focus will be upon student learning, student experience, and student career pathways.
Great. So thank you, everyone, so much for your questions. That's all the time that we have for questions tonight. Before I ask Thamba to wrap us up with any final thoughts, I just want to remind everyone that if you didn't get a chance to ask your question or if you have feedback or comments for us, please just stay on the line and you'll have the ability to leave us a voice message in just a moment. We'll be listening to those and responding to you as fast as we can. So, Thamba, in our final minutes, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share?
Yeah, first of all, thank you, Shannon, for joining me in this evening conversation. Clearly, this was an experiment in talking to our vast Badger alumni network, and from the few voices we heard, looks like everybody liked this experiment, so let's keep it going. I would say that many of the questions reinforce what I've been hearing on my tours to different cities, which is that we have strong programs, and how do we make sure that our educational offerings are accessible to more and more students, and we'll continue to work on that through creative ways. Secondly, we heard about the desire for Badgers to give back through their own journeys, through their life experiences, through their knowledge, and through their mentoring, and we'll continue to work on that. But as we complete our strategic planning process, I look forward to communicating what are important directions, and I look forward to, again, another telethon in early spring, where it will be so cold that we will probably spend 2 hours on this phone and enjoy each other's company. So, Badger friends out there, thank you for taking the time and welcoming me into your fold, and I look forward to seeing you wherever you are or continually hearing from you. So let's keep it going on Wisconsin.
Great. Thanks so much, everyone, again, for joining us. Just a reminder, just stay on the line to leave us a voicemail with any final thoughts that you might have. Have a nice evening and on Wisconsin.